Hey there, coffee lovers. Do you want to make your morning cup of Joe something special? Let's talk about Joe Bean Coffee, a gem right here in Rochester. I'm Chris Lindstrom, host of the Food About Town podcast and co-founder of Lunchador. I've been a longtime fan of Joe Bean. Kathy, Dina, and the whole team are passionate about their coffee and this city, and it comes through in every cup of Joe Bean Coffee that I brew at home. Joe Bean has been a part of Rochester for years, over a decade, building lasting community and a sense of belonging for everyone who loves coffee. Next time you need beans, head over to Joe Bean's Roastery at 565 Blossom Road in Rochester or shop online at joebeanroasters.com. Even better, subscribe to Joe Bean's Perpetual Joy and you'll receive freshly roasted beans on your schedule and never be without your favorite coffee. Joe Bean is more than just coffee. It's a community, a commitment, and a cup full of care.
Welcome to Dialed In. I'm Wade Reed, recording another solo intro for an episode that I am particularly excited about. This episode features our panel discussion with Rory Van Grohl of Ugly Duck Coffee and Angela Liu of Pandemonium Coffee right here in Rochester. It took place out at an event at Aporia Coffee Company. That's my home turf over on Dewey Ave in the heart of Rochester. This conversation is just everything I could have hoped it would be when I was trying to set it up. Rory and Angela are honest. They are open. They are celebratory. They are insightful. It is really incredible to get such optimism, such realism, and really, I think, just the kind of perspective that maybe we're not getting in other venues about coffee shop owners. I think this conversation really started something for me, and I'm hoping to follow on it with more conversations with coffee shop owners, which we've done a few of before, but you know, I want to hear every angle possible of what it's like to start out in Rochester and how we as a community can support one another. So wonderful conversation. Big thanks to Angela and Rory, of course. Big thanks to my co-host, Aaron Pascucci, and our producer, Chris Lindstrom, for moderating the panel. Big thanks to Jasmine Tucker for planning the event. Even though it was on my home turf, she did most of the work. And to everyone who donated prizes, helped with the event, the judges, who are all familiar faces to the Dialed In crew. I know I'm going to forget someone, so I'm not going to, you know, keep naming people, but it was a fun event, and I'm glad everyone came out, and I hope we can do this kind of thing more and more often and really, just tighten our community here in Rochester. So enjoy the conversation, and if you want to follow up, you can always find us on Instagram and Substack.
We're recording a panel over at Aporia Coffee Roasters in scenic downtown Rochester, New York. we're talking about opening coffee shops in different time frames in the Rochester coffee scene and what the experience has been like. I'm Chris Lindstrom, host of the Food About Town podcast, producer of Dialed In with Wade Reed and Aaron Pascucci. And Aaron is also joining on this panel. How's it going today, Aaron?
It's great. I'm glad we're talking about coffee shops because I've got a lot of knowledge about that, not so much on other things.
And our guests on the panel, Rory Van Grohl, owner of Ugly Duck Coffee. Rory, how are you doing today?
Doing well. Happy to be here.
And Angela, I apologize. I don't remember your last name off the top of my head. Liu. So Angela Liu from Pandemonium Coffee over in the North Winton Village. Been around for how long now?
17 months.
Right on the mic for this year. One.
17 months.
Okay, so 17 months. And Rory, you are over 10 years in now, right?
Over 10 years. I don't know the months.
That's what I was wondering. It's been a minute.
Well, I think it's like when you have a kid, like at some point you go past months and you're like, then you just go to years and maybe half years.
To be honest, never did the months with my kids.
It always seemed like an overrated thing to do the months, but you know, every little milestone matters at that point.
That is true. Yeah. Every milestone does matter. So a year as mobile bar and then, so I would say just over 9 years as a brick and mortar.
Okay. Yeah. Cause that's like, when I was getting into specialty coffee, you know, around the same time was following when that started and like the couple of years before that. So I think it's going to be really interesting to talk the differences starting then and starting now. But let's just do a brief, like, so what is, let's just do a quick, how do you describe Ugly Duck Coffee to people if you're describing it to them?
Me?
Yeah.
Ugly Duck Coffee is a multi-roaster coffee shop in downtown Rochester, New York. If you are familiar with bars, a multi-roaster coffee shop is a coffee shop that doesn't roast their own coffee, but represents other roasters throughout the country. Just like a beer bar would not brew their own beer, they serve a variety of other beers that brewers make.
Gotcha. And Angela, how would you describe Pandemonium Coffee?
It's kind of like an Asian fusion health cafe.
Okay.
So all of our ingredients, essentially, there's a health aspect to it. But there's a lot of Asian influenced flavors because it's just my background. So,
yeah. And that's, I kind of wanted to start with that because the perspective that, the perspective of the shop kind of, you know, determines, you know, how you're portraying it to the public, but how you launch at the same time. So I guess let's go from newest. So when you were thinking about launching Pandemonium, what were the kind of things that you were really focused on pre-launch, like before you opened? What were the things you were really thinking about?
Really everything, just from the bean to the water to the filtration to the type of milk we're going to be using. Also, like, you know, where we're going to be sourcing our ingredients from for homemade syrups. A lot of research.
And when you were thinking about location and like the feeling of the place, what were the kind of things you were considering? Because it was a very different, it's a very different real estate market 10 years ago to, you know, 18 months ago.
Yeah, I don't know if I really had like a location in mind. I definitely wanted the feel of like an older neighborhood where people were still part of the neighborhood and community wise. And I was kind of going back and forth between mobile or like a brick and mortar. So I started with mobile really. So essentially found, well, Wade found really our location now. And met Jen, she's the sourdough baker next to us. And we kind of just jive because we started talking about health and guts and all that stuff. So it was kind of just serendipitous to find where we are. And North Winton Village really is that community. It's like young families with kids. There's a doula center across the street from us. So I don't know. It kind of, all the puzzle pieces just kind of fit together.
Yeah. And Rory, you lived in the neighborhood for a long time.
I did. Yeah. I mean, initially, if we're going to pull back even further, the first location of Ugly Duck was going to be in the North Winton Village on Fairfax Road. 9 months of paying rent to fruitfully survive at doing a mobile bar. So when the landlord wants you to pay to get the building a CFO, then, you know, you said, see you later.
Yeah.
But yeah, love that neighborhood. And I'm glad that there's now a multitude of options to go to in that neighborhood.
Well, I was going to say, like, you know, having lived in the neighborhood for 10 years myself, yeah, or in the rough area, like, I know for you, it had to be like, oh, there's nothing for me to walk to when it comes to walking to coffee, walking to something you wanted to go to.
I wouldn't say nothing. Coffee wise, it was a little bit of a coffee desert. New City did open. So on
Parcells. Yeah, New City over in Parcells.
So
absolutely.
I don't want to forget about them. So that was walking distance from me because I was on the upper side of North Winton Village by East High. So even the old Joe Bean was walkable. So
yeah,
when I was working there, I would sometimes walk there. So that wasn't lost on me. But once they moved and adapted, that option was gone. But there's other things in that neighborhood, just like Angela said. You know, there's Beautiful Birth Choices, which my wife and I took classes there when we were expecting. They've been there for a very long time. You know, there's now more restaurants than ever over there, which is awesome. But yeah, I was missing that like hub of a coffee shop or coffee service mm-hmm. spot. So, yeah.
Yeah. Cause it's seeing the neighborhood change. I mean, that's something that you've seen in your location now, mm-hmm. but stepping back to the mobile, when you were thinking about starting, I think that was that the first mobile coffee bar in Rochester, I believe, right? When you started yours.
As far as I know, but...
It's the first one I remember happening.
I mean, that's 10 years ago, so I don't think there was many in the country, let alone in Rochester. I know Java's had a truck at one point.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that, you know, we just pivoted once that space didn't work out and moved forward, figured out, how to adapt, and I still wanted to do it. So figured out a way to do it.
Was Java's at that time doing like live brewing? Like, did they have an espresso machine? I know they were carting a lot of stuff around at that time, but
no, they had a food truck. Like an actual espresso bar truck. I don't know how long it lasted, but they definitely did.
Yeah, I don't remember it at all. So
I think that was like the second wave of food trucks, second or third wave of when food trucks were the hottest thing in Rochester, when the public market was chock full of people. Mm-hmm. Every single, you know, every month there were hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people that showed up, and food truck lines were half an hour, 45 minutes for just getting a meal. There was everybody open, and I think that kind of faded off. But so you went through what, 9 months to a year doing the mobile bar, and that was popping up everywhere around Rochester at the time. You could find a spot.
I mean, I feel it felt like that, but it also didn't feel like that. So it was very intentional. So we would so I'm going to peel this back just a little bit based on a conversation that I had yesterday. Just so folks can understand, because it is being recorded. I was also working at Joe Bean, much credit to them. When I interviewed there, I sat down and I told them that I wanted to do my own coffee thing. What the intention was, how I was going to look, was not there, but I just knew in my heart that I wanted to do something. At the same time, I was also working at the Owl House. Everyone of those businesses really supported that. So 7 years of working at both spaces, and then launching Ugly Duck and still working at both places. So Friday, Saturday, Sundays, basically I carved out a schedule for myself. Every Sunday I was going to be at Scratch Bake Shop. They were started to do donuts, and this was in their Park Ave location. So that's when we started that. So every Sunday was intentionally set to be there. Consistency for me is one of my pillars, is like, I want to show up. I want to be there. I don't want people to question. That's how you create good habits, for myself and for others. So we set on Sundays there. Fridays and Saturdays, we moved around a little bit. So yeah, we would pop up at the Owl House. We popped up at Swillburger. We popped up at Thread, which was a clothing store in the South Wedge. Mm-hmm. Other private events, weddings, not so much corporate stuff at that time, but any celebrations, you name
public
it.
Public market on Saturdays, Fiorella. At Fiorella.
Yeah, Fiorella,
shout out to the team there.
There's so many spots that we did it at, but also that don't even exist anymore. So it's pretty wild to like start there and pitch a concept to people. So grateful for folks that allowed us to be in their spaces and see that vision and connect on that level.
So we were talking about a neighborhood with the North Winton Village where Pandemonium's located, which, by the way, if you haven't been yet, it's on Winton right near Main Street. So definitely swing by when you have the chance. Check it out. Some real creative stuff going on. When you were doing the, you had the first location that didn't work out. Mm-hmm. And when you were looking for a permanent location, what was your feeling beyond the first one? Was it finding opportunity for growth for the current population? What were you thinking about at the time?
All great questions, and none of that was even intentional. just working in service and hospitality, you meet people. And I'm sure anyone that works in service and hospitality finds out that you just come across to so many different types of people. And I was lucky enough to meet our current landlord, who was a regular at Joe Bean, who became a regular at the pop-up at various spots. And he just said, this space is opening up you should do that here. And because we got so burnt at the last space, I was very hesitant, pushed back, and was like, I don't know. I don't think this is going to work. Sat on it. He asked again, was persistent, believed in us, believed in our vision, and just we landed on that, and we made it work, and have been there ever since.
And, you know, been completely smooth sailing with no construction going on.
Yeah, so...
With no changes in the neighborhood in the entire time you've been there.
Yeah, so, I mean, as far as, like, people, traffic, and all that stuff, there was no plan as far as, like, I didn't... Based on the first business plan that we put together for the other spot on Fairfax, we didn't have that intentionality necessarily in our current spot on Charlotte Street. So there wasn't any projection of traffic patterns and who's walking around and what that looks like, because the inner loop was not filled in. It was a gravel pit at that point. But even when we agreed to do it, it wasn't even a gravel pit yet. They just had started that project. There was no townhomes. We didn't know all of that was happening. We didn't know that there was going to be huge apartment complexes that wasn't, you know, part of like our vision. I had visited the little bakery, which was there before the art therapy or wall therapy and 1975 gallery kickoff stuff was there. Eric Lehman is a friend, so someone I leaned on and talked to about the space, about the building. I'd been in the building. We ended up doing their final art show. We popped up there to kind of as like a changing of the guard kind of deal. And we've been stuck there, but there was no intentionality about all of that stuff.
Yeah. And it was, you know, we had a lot of established coffee in Rochester, but the specialty side of it was still fairly was lean at the time. There was three spots at the time, if I remember correctly. We had a lot of established roasters, from Java's to Union to other places like that. But on the specialty side, it was just growing. And I think that was the fourth one, because that was, you know, Joe Bean and Poor at the time, and then Fuego. And this was the fourth one. So this was a very different coffee scene than what we're seeing now. So we'll go through some more of the journey. But when you were opening, there was already a lot more, Angela. When you're thinking about differentiation, what are the things that you were thinking about during that? You're thinking about all the details about making coffee, but when you're thinking about it, it's a different thing than just opening. How are you thinking about what makes this different? And we talked a little bit about it, but I kind of want to go into detail a little bit.
Yeah, I essentially have just been doing crazy things with flavors. I don't really have guidelines I have to follow. I feel like with coffee, as long as it tastes good and as long as, you know, people like it, and also like if they're getting some sort of health benefit. So the important part for me opening up a shop was really about the serving of the community. Right. Mm. So like being, you know, to China and kind of like fell in love with coffee when I was there. And the whole journey is just like bring people together and having a space where people can hang out and kind of talk or like see a neighbor you haven't seen in 20 years, you know, and somehow magically they're all showing up at my shop now. So that was more of my intention. The coffee I love, but I don't know if it was like, yes, I'm going to make a coffee shop because of the coffee reason. Right. But it is now, you know.
And it's something we've talked about a little bit, mm-hmm. and we think we talked on the podcast, Aaron, was about when you made that trip.
Yeah.
And it's not the first place people think about is coffee culture in China, but it is a whole different coffee culture than I think we see mm-hmm. here. So how would you describe it? You know, and when you're talking about the health things, you're also talking about more, you know, not necessarily like US health stuff, and talking about just different ways of approaching health when it comes to beverage and things.
Yeah, because essentially, bubble tea is the thing in Asia. Like, people like beverages more, right? So it's kind of like street vendor, street food type of thing, but food essentially brings people together. So I guess thinking about coffee, it is the sort of food, right? Like, we consume it, beverages we consume more sometimes than actual edible things. So that's kind of how I just like group them all together, the community, the experience, and like what food coffee, drinks, beverages can bring together.
Yeah, and when you're thinking about approaching flavors, you know, you have the wide world of, you know, any, you can do anything, right? As long as it tastes good.
Yes.
You have the opportunity and, you know, maybe bringing something that people aren't as familiar with. Mm-hmm. What are the kind of ways you've been thinking about that, you know, recently when you're trying to separate, hey, what are we doing that's different than other people? Because the density of coffee shops in our area has wildly expanded in the last 10 years.
I think I've just been incorporating ingredients that you normally don't think about in coffee. So, yeah. I mean, last season we had a fish sauce caramel, right? Like you don't think fish sauce in actual coffee, but essentially it tastes good. It's like salted caramel, right? So,
I mean, I don't know. That sounds...
I'm sorry. Did you say fish sauce?
Fish sauce.
Okay. And that's I would have to try that.
Yeah, because savory and caramel go so well together. And it's one of those flavors that is so identifiable in cultural cuisines, but there's a reason it's great. Like, you know, savory caramel, miso caramel, salted caramel just works. And having the ability to bring culture through a coffee shop is not just the hospitality stuff, which we're going to dive into, but you can bring yourself as part of that too.
Yeah. I essentially didn't want to become a shop that just had a bunch of syrups on the walls. I'm sure everybody's walked into shops like that and I didn't want to be, you know, so just started creating my own flavors and incorporating my background because, you know, culturally, why not?
If I might chime in, how did the fish sauce jump into your head as pouring it into coffee?
Essentially it was more of like a savory sweet with the butter and the cream and everything. So it's more of a umami flavor. So Okay. Fish sauce, cause fish sauce.
Yeah.
That's what I was wondering. Like,
yeah. And every culture loves savory. And when we're thinking about some of the things that we put into coffee, like chocolate is only sweet because we put sugar in it. It's a very savory thing. And there's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of savory, dark, earthy notes to it. We just perceive it as very sweet because of how much sugar we put into it. Mm-hmm. And it's the context is sometimes it's easier to separate versus enjoy how harmonious something can be.
Yeah. And it's always coffee forward first for us, right? But I just feel like if you want to taste this concoction I've made, right? Like it essentially has to be there too. So coffee forward, but then like the flavors of what actually we're putting it is in there, and then good milk. Like coffee is very simple in those ingredients to me.
Yeah.
So also just incorporating, you know, like reasonably sourced organic things. Like food is food, right? So don't put chemicals in it, just put the thing in.
I mean, I love the simplicity of that, right? Like, hey, do as good as you can with the ingredients you're bringing in. And it carries its own flavor. It carries its own thing at that point.
Mm-hmm. Hey, it's Pauly Guglielmo, host of the Pauly Guglielmo Show here on the Lunchador Podcast Network and founder of Guglielmo Sauce, owner of Craft Cannery, bottling many of your favorite local and regional sauces, dressings, and marinades. You can find Guglielmo's at any area Wegmans or at many local mom and pops around the city.
Kind of wanted to pivot back to, you know, we're talking about differentiation. So when you opened originally, Rory, like I said, I think there was the four specialty shops and then, you know, the base of our coffee roasting and culture in town. When you were opening, you were already a multi-roaster. You're already having that established. When you're thinking about building culture in the shop, was that the original thought, or is that something that has evolved over the 9 years of running Ugly Duck? Is that something you already had thought about?
Culture by meaning being a multi-roaster?
No, just like what, when you're thinking about what is the culture of Ugly Duck, what are you bringing to the coffee scene? Has that changed over the 9 years of what you think you're providing?
I think that it's always going to evolve and change. I think it essentially, when you're creating something or when you're setting a table for others to join you, it's always going to change. It's not going to be your concrete vision of what you started out with. So my intention is always to use my influences, the things that I fall back on and my identity, and try to filter that through others. So my big pieces of things that I think come through in my life and the big influences that I lean on are skateboarding, hardcore punk music, and then now coffee. And the three things that I love about all those are people and the community around that. And it's not that I'm good at skateboarding, because I'm not. I yell into a microphone sometimes. I'm not really good at it.
It's fascinating, by the way.
But it's but it's the people and the energy and the things around that that bring me into it. And coffee is also that too. So the center of it is people and allowing yourself to be changed and support them, and having something is important. I'm just nervous about saying that we created a culture. It's just a weird thing for me. I don't know. Maybe that's just my own nervousness around that. I think what ultimately I want Ugly Duck to convey is a space where people can authentically show up as themselves, whether that's our team or the guests coming in. Mm-hmm. I want people to be able to come in not knowing about coffee and not feeling like they're going to be bombarded with a lot of information, mm-hmm. and or othered that they don't know, because that was a really big thing at the time when we opened up. There was a lot of sensitivity about not knowing enough about the thing that we're involved in. I wanted people to come in and be like, I just want a cup of coffee. Cool. Mm-hmm. Here's your coffee. I wanted to be able to connect on that level. And I wanted people to be able to ask questions when they were ready. So that was a big thing. An intention for us is to lower the bar, specifically have a lower bar. So it wasn't super high and nothing we can really hide on, but that's also an inviting factor for others to ask questions and to be a part of what we are.
Yeah. I appreciate the reticence to say that that's culture. I think you defined what to me is culture, and that's hospitality, right? You're building a hospitable thing for the employees, that everybody's well-trained, that everybody's respectful to, you know, the staff and to the customers. That's culture, right? It's everything you've talked about was like, hey, all of these communities, like, you want to have respect. You want to do things on purpose. And I think if anything, that's kind of the legacy of what's there, is people feel comforted. People feel welcomed.
Well, thank you for saying that.
Well, in a little bit, you don't set out to create culture most times. I mean, we've got kids in schools, and we jokingly talk about culture is food, festivals, and family. And that's what's happened in, you know, various ways there. And so maybe it wasn't that you set out to do it, but it's there now.
I mean, if people latch onto it, awesome. But I'm not going to claim that I'm doing anything that's new. Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to claim that it was our intention to set out to do all of these things.
That's fair.
My intention, as always, is to make sure our team is taken care of and making sure they have what they need, and hopefully that they pass that along to the folks that come in. Like, that's the whole intention, is to create a place that is available for others to show up, be themselves, be authentic to themselves, feel supported, feel seen, and pass that along to everyone that comes in. And hopefully we can do that in not only small times, but a place where people can feel like professionally they can grow with us and provide those opportunities for a longer period of time than just a short period of time. Yeah. Like, 'cause people see baristas and people working in coffee as othered. Right? As like, sure, this isn't a career. This can't be a career. I want people to feel like they can have it as a career, or feel like important enough to be like, no, I work in coffee, and you know, I am offered opportunities outside of coffee that, you know, or in coffee that can equate to some sort of professional life.
So we were kind of talking about the evolution and the perception, just because I find interesting, you know, looking at that, looking at the distance. But Angela, from like 18 months, right? What have you already learned about launching a coffee shop now that would be interesting to talk about? Like, what are the things you've learned in 18 months that you didn't know that you would have wanted to know ahead of launching your own shop?
How tiring it is. Well, and essentially, absolutely, there's so much passion behind it, right? So, like, there's care and passion, especially, like, for the team. Like, Rory, like, I, you know, half the time, I don't know what I'm building, but it is essentially caring about the team, caring about the community, and it just comes out however it's going to come out. So, same like Rory, I do focus on, you know, teaching other folks that have the interest in coffee, teaching them the craft, and having them understand it can be a profession. You know, we're not just baristas. We don't just push buttons and, you know, do the thing. So it takes a lot of hard work. You know, I kind of anticipated it going in, but it's just, there's no rest, you know, and it's okay because it's growing for me, and maybe one day I will, but I don't know.
Well, and it seems like with the evolution of the stores and everything, this is the coffee career has become palatable and a thing, right? It's respectable these days. And it's, I think what you are displaying there is authenticity, which is now more than ever becoming such a huge thing there. You know, you're not just the little coffee shop that's opening in the bank, you know, that they're just trying to make a buck when people walk in the door.
I'm gonna push back on that a little bit. I think people see owners and respect them more than they respect the folks working in coffee. Mm-hmm. And so I push back just because people invite owners and see that as the only next step for someone to be respected in coffee. And have an ownership role, where I feel that folks that choose to not go that path don't have that same respect.
That's fair. That's true.
And so as an owner, as someone, they want offering opportunities for those folks that still work in coffee is important, for them to say, no, I am offered these opportunities to further my career in this path. I choose to do this service. I choose to work in hospitality because this is what I enjoy and value. You know, I think there's a lot of value that I have. I have certain folks that no longer work at Ugly Duck that have used what they made at Ugly Duck to get opportunities financially further along in their career now as like teachers. You know what I mean? Like, oh, well, why would I take that pay rate when I make more as a barista?
Sure.
And so they were given a higher pay rate at college, a local college here.
Yep.
To then be able to quit the shop, which is like awesome. Like that's like, if you're moving along, I want you to get paid more and valued more. Sure.
I always, when I was working at Pete's, I loved being behind the bar, and I would come home and be like, if I could make as much as I'm making teaching, I would do this the rest of my life, you know? And for me now, like I'm so far out of it, but if I was starting out, like for sure, if there was a shop that was willing to do that, like that would be awesome.
Yeah. And that's, you know, I think as we're wrapping up, you know, the, you know, we're talking about, you know, growth, we're talking about opportunities in hospitality, right? And that's really what we're talking about, right? Is bringing personality, bringing culture in whichever way we're talking about culture, which is multifaceted. But when you're looking at, you know, it's not the next 5 years, but when you're looking at, do you see a path that's changing in people opening coffee shops and what you want to do with your shop? Do you just see a change that you see on the horizon that's interesting to talk about?
For me, yeah. Like, you know, I want to reach points where I can send people for extra training. And essentially that's, we've had discussions around it. there has been a shift, you know, some newer coffee shops. I don't know because I guess I haven't spoke to them enough to kind of see where, what direction they want to go in. So it's hard to say. I don't know. I do see a shift in like the reasoning why shops are opening, you know, it seems more like it's on trend now. So there's a lot of places popping up. But I don't know, you know?
Yeah. And it's not to say that there's a clear answer to any of this. It's just, there's so much happening right now.
I mean, within Rochester. Yeah, for sure. I would say, and Angela could probably speak to this as a small business owner, and we often are in silos of our own, and sometimes we have to get pulled out of those silos, so we don't get to make it out to places as often as we would like because we're so focused on working within a certain set of things, like in a business. And we talk about this at our shop a lot, that we don't always get to get out in the community. And so something like this here in public is something super important for us. And so as far as like forecasting or understanding why someone is doing something, that's a lot to figure out, you know, intentionally. I think it's awesome that there's a lot of smaller shops, independent shops, specialty shops opening. And I think it's amazing. I heard on your podcast, I think with Colin, it was like, we're not competing against each other. We're competing against more of a corporate thing that's happening. And I think that's super important to remember, is that maybe you don't see us out in the community at shops, but you know, like folks like Angela and Quinn and Kyle, and we do talk. We just maybe are not inside the shop as much as you would think, but there is that open communication between us and support. Like I want folks to succeed, and I want these folks to lean on each other when they need to and ask for help if they need to. You know, I'm more than willing to help folks rather than compete alongside. Like we're a 900 square foot shop. We can't serve the 250,000 people in this area. That's just facts. You know, I know, and it's taken me a long time to do this. But don't take things super personal. You know, like that's like a huge thing. Like you can disagree with your path forward. That doesn't mean you don't like something someone else is doing or who that person is. I think that sometimes people take things a little to heart.
Yeah.
And I would say just like move through it. Mm-hmm. You know, like it just takes like a calling in rather than calling out is super important. Whether that's like building community, or your team, or whoever you're connected with. So that's what I mean, if you're looking to opening up something, if you're looking to push forward, you know, if there's someone in the community that you value, ask them for their information, ask them for help. I think there's a lot of people willing to do that.
Yeah. And I think it's the real definition of community, not, not the buzzword, not the fakeness of it, is, hey, there's no reason not to be honest. There's no reason not to. There's plenty of corporate giants that, you know, that we don't have to necessarily. That's not what we want to be focused on. We want individuality. We want character. We want personality brought to the local coffee scene. There's a lot of opportunity, but I guess let's finish with, you know, community, right? So Rory talked about community. You know, Angela, what are you feeling about coffee community at the moment?
Like Rory said, I think that it is very transparent. I mean, we do all kind of communicate in that way. And I've definitely leaned in on, you know, Quinn from Winter Swan, Kat from Happy Gut, you know, and I think we are stronger and a force, right? Like we are individuals, but essentially we are a whole community. So we do have to lean on each other. It's not a competition. I'm so happy that everybody is doing their own thing. But I, you know, the public might not view it as that because we are independent shops, but essentially like we are together as a whole.
Yeah. And I think that's the thing. That's a great way to leave it is, you know, inside the community, there might be those feelings. I think people take it to heart. Sometimes they have allegiances, they have other things that aren't productive. you know, we have personal preferences and allegiances, but supporting the community and trying to grow it together is only going to benefit all of us. So I think it's a good way to leave it. I guess, you know, throw out the plugs for where your places are again, because this is recorded and published as well. So, Rory, where can people find Ugly Duck Coffee if they have not been?
89 Charlotte Street, downtown Rochester, New York. You know, on the Instagram at Ugly Duck Coffee. Yeah, that's where we're at.
We're currently located in 686 North Winton, but we're going to be moving to 682.
What?
So essentially there's a remodel happening and we get to build our permanent home right next door to our home right now.
Oh, that's awesome.
So in the next couple months, there's going to be some movement and driving, but essentially we'll be right at the corner right next to Jen's Artisan. So Instagram handle is Pandemonium Coffee House.
Yeah, and really appreciate everybody joining us here at the panel over at Aporia Coffee Roasters and on the Dialed In podcast. Thanks, everybody, for being here.
This has been a presentation of the Lunchador Podcast Network.